Awake? Debatable. Hungry? Absolutely. Your morning routine consisted of scrambling to find your phone, wallet, and keys, and you're already out the door. Slide into 7-Eleven and grab a breakfast bundle. Grab any breakfast sandwich, like our delicious sausage, egg, and cheese waffle sandwich, waffle tots, and a Monster, Celsius, or Red Bull to jumpstart your day. It's available at 7-Eleven and just $4 with 7 rewards. Visit your local Columbus 7-Eleven and satisfy that craving today. Valid through 6/23/26. While supplies last, participating stores, see app for.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumb has been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Tony Bruschi. If you enjoy this podcast, Real Ghost Stories Online, be sure to check out our other paranormal podcast, The Grave Talks, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday. Just search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of one of this week's episodes of The Grave Talks.
Today on The Grave Talks, the demons of Lizzie Borden, a conversation with Sam Beltrusis. Lizzie Borden, everyone thinks they know the story, everyone thinks it's an open and shut case, and maybe there are some playful spirits at what is now a bed and breakfast. Everyone better think again. Today we dive into the dark story of the Bordens and uncover more than just a tale of murder, but rather a tale of a dark entity that possibly took over several of the Bordens over decades and may still be at work today. Suppose you've watched the Discovery Plus documentary on the topic. In that case, we're going to take you one step deeper as we discuss this case with a man who experienced the spirits, both good and evil, firsthand in that very film. Sam Beltrusis, today on The Grave Talks.
So my knowledge of the Borden case was pretty much, I've written 13 books, and two of the books featured the Borden murder. So I was a journalist for 20 years, and I actually, one of the first articles I ever pitched when I worked for Newsweek was on the Borden murder house being turned into a bed and breakfast. Mm-hmm. So I had, I would say like 20 years of experience, but I would say that, looking at the murders with a lens of trying to figure out who done it, it's one of those things that you can never really figure out. So I kind of gave up that approach and wanted to focus more on the spirits that were associated with the house, because having gone to the murder house on Second Street in Fall River multiple times, I was connecting to the spirits, and I wanted to kind of like get their point of view and talk to the spirits. So I would say that my experience with the murder case is advanced, but I wanted to do something that was 2.0. I wanted to go to the next level.
Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody has, the Lizzie Borden, of course, there's the nursery rhyme. There's so much, attached to that specific case. And then people go to the bed and breakfast and, the assumptions made that Lizzie did it. And obviously she was acquitted. I mean, where does the knowledge sit? Obviously it is kind of up in the air, but just tell me, where is the general consensus as far as Lizzie actually being the one that did this?
So having done all the research and getting to know all the potential suspects, I strongly believe that Lizzie Borden was the only possible person to commit the crime.
Okay.
But if you look at sort of like what, when it comes to you know, like her frame, she was a small framed woman. She was 32 years old. She had no, you know, signs of, you know, being psychotic and murdering her stepmother and father. So that part is always been a mystery to me. So looking at the actual, you know, like the case and looking at the specifics of the case, you know, there are people that we should look at and reexamine, like Uncle John Morse. John Morse had a pretty, you know, interesting alibi for the day of the murders in August of 1892. You know, he would, you know, he actually was able to say, like, oh, I talked to this gentleman on my way to visit so-and-so's house. It was actually another family member that he was visiting. But other things that he did too, like he actually slept in the room that of the murder room where Abby was murdered the night of the murders, which to me is odd. If I would not want to sleep in a crime scene. And also too, like he visited like out of the blue. So he would sometimes come in and stay at the house periodically, but he came the day before. And so John Morse has always been someone that I've been suspicious of. Another person that was at the scene of the crime was Bridget Sullivan, the maid, and as someone who connects with the spirits, she's always wanted to communicate to me as a clairvoyant her involvement with the murders. And having, you know, seen, I've had dreams for years about this case. And some, they were terrifying. So she would pin me to the bed and show me that she was hiding the weapon in a closet on the third floor. So she's always been someone that I don't think she actually committed the murders, but she may have covered up the murders. So yeah, there are a lot of people that should have been looked at more closely. Mm-hmm. But I do think that if you get down to it, Lizzie Borden took an axe and gave her father and stepmother several whacks.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, so that's yeah, ultimately what it comes down to. So I mean, tell me. Yeah. I mean, you did the article for Newsweek years ago, and obviously way before this documentary. It sounds like that, you know, was that kind of your first interaction with the house, was putting together that piece?
Yeah, so when this is in the 90s, so yeah. I actually I went to college in Boston. I just moved to New York City, and you know, I knew about the house, but I actually was not able to visit it when I first wrote that article. But I did back then. I was specializing in the Salem witch trials, so I was kind of focused on the Salem witch trials. But my other area of interest was you know, definitely was Lizzie Borden, the Borden murder. So I had two, you know, things that turns out that I'm actually related to both the Putnam family, who were the major accusers during the Salem witch trials, and Lizzie Borden. So I would say that my perception of Lizzie Borden was very much of a caricature. I thought of her as like a sort of as a bad person. As a murderess and someone that killed her stepmother and father. So it was really much black and white thinking and kind of villainizing someone that turned out to be my cousin, which I didn't find out until years later.
Sure. That must have been very odd to kind of discover that, to find that you have that connection. And then you were saying you had dreams about this stuff for years. How did that sort of start to come on?
So the dreams happened, like I would say about like 15 years ago. I would actually be in a house that turns out to be the murder house. And I would see what looked like a woman wearing 1800s era garb. She's holding a hatchet, and you see a man sitting on a couch with his head kind of reclining on the couch, and it's black and white. And I see subtitles going beneath while this dream is moving forward. And you see what looks like a sort of a nefarious looking man wearing a derby hat right behind the woman holding the hatchet, like as if he's like a puppet master. And the part that always would make me scream when I would wake up, I would read the subtitles, and at the very end, like it would say at the bottom, Diablo did it. Diablo did it. And I woke up, and to me, that I interpreted that as the devil did it. Mm-hmm. And that kind of gave me, I guess, you know, like I, that there may be something more sinister involved with the case. And I've always thought that. I thought that from the very beginning, that that even though Lizzie Borden may have physically committed the crime, was she in her right mind? Mm-hmm. And you know, people do argue that there may have been mental illness involved. And you know, if you look at our family lineage, there's a history of heinous crimes, and that's something that actually came out during the research for this documentary, The Curse of Lizzie Borden. So I think that it's possible that she had dissociative disorder, and she may have kind of separated from her body, so she wasn't mentally there, which would explain the extreme strength that she would need to take to do an overkill. I mean, both Abby and Andrew were killed to an extreme. It was a crime of passion. And, you know, can this small framed woman do that? I don't think so. You need something else to commit that kind of crime with that much passion and anger. So I really have looked at this case tentatively. It interests me, but I also felt, I've always, because of the dreams, I was scared to even go there. I was afraid to even walk in the house, much less spend an overnight at the house. And I did, you know, I've been able to do that multiple times. But when I investigate, I don't stay at the house because of those dreams. I mean, it's just been so terrifying for me to actually spend the night in the house.
When you first had those dreams, I mean, something kind of came, you know, like oftentimes when those things happen, it's like, well, that was a weird one to have tonight. Did you know right away that what you were viewing was the Lizzie Borden case, or were you kind of perplexed as to like, what am I, what, like, what was that? Where was that?
Yeah, and so I definitely didn't know what it was, and I thought it was just sort of like me seeing a movie, or like a mind movie. And I'm also dealing with the fact that I'm accepting my ability as a clairvoyant while this is happening. Mm-hmm. And you know, I've always had abilities, and a lot of times the spirits would communicate through my dreams. And this one was different. This one was haunted me, and it kept replaying over and over and over again for multiple years. I didn't realize it was actually the Lizzie Borden house that I was dreaming until I went inside. And that wasn't until, I would say like 2012, 2013, when I was able to go inside, and I remembered the wallpaper and also even the couch, even though it's not the same couch that was there in 1892, mm-hmm. It's the same design of the couch.
Yeah.
So, once I was able to kind of go, oh my gosh, that's what I was dreaming.
Yeah.
And then other dreams started to actually happen after that in other rooms of the house that I've never been into, like Bridget Sullivan's room. And at that point I hadn't been in that room, but since then I've actually stayed in that room multiple times.
When you first stayed at the house, I'm assuming that was pre doing this, the documentary that everybody's talking about right now, correct?
Right. Yeah. So when I first stayed at the house, it was, I would say, about 7 years ago.
Okay.
And I will tell you, like, people that know me know how difficult that was for me to do.
Yeah. That's my question is how was that experience for you the first time that you actually stayed there?
So the first time I walked into the house, the first time I actually walked into the house was actually, I went on a tour, and, you know, of course I felt the emotion that of Abby Borden, especially in the John Morris room where she was murdered. So I was picking up the emotion the first time I visited, but when I spent the night, it was a very spirited night. So I walked into the back door into the house right by the location where the dream took place, which is right by the parlor and where the couch is. And then there's the dining room area, and a shadow figure darted right by when I walked in. So I knew it was going to be spirited. So I ended up, you know, going on the tour, which they give you if you stay at the bed and breakfast. I'm staying up in the Bridget Sullivan's room, which is another room that was significant in my dreams. And I had one eye open, one eye closed. I had experiences the whole night. I felt like there was actually a rocking chair that moved up while I was trying to sleep next to my bed, as if the spirits of the house were like looking out for me while I was sleeping. That terrified me.
Yeah.
Around 3 in the morning, I didn't go with a group that I just wanted to kind of go on my own. just to experience it. And when people found out who I was, they're like, oh, we have to investigate the house. And so there's a group, a mother and daughter from New Jersey. We kind of like hung out that night. And they're like, hey, let's go on down in the basement. And I'm like, I don't think that's a good idea, guys. Like, I think the basement is, as we say here, wicked haunted. Mm-hmm. And so we head down to the basement, and I heard what sounded like a hissing noise downstairs. And I ran upstairs. I'm like, I can't do it. Well, the mother and daughter were so terrified from that experience, they ended up leaving the house at like 1 a.m.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, right around the, like right when we went down there to investigate. So I would say that the first night was probably my most eventful night, but it was sort of a foreshadow of what was to unfold over the years and my experience in that house. It got progressively darker as I spent more time there.
Hope you enjoyed this 15-minute preview of one of this week's two brand new episodes of The Grave Talks. To hear the rest and get new episodes every Monday and Tuesday right in your podcast feed, search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe or visit thegravetalks.com.
Experience the freedom of finding the one at Haverty's. Right now, everything is on sale, from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate this summer at Haverty's, online or in Columbus at Polaris.
Why is it always chaos when we link up?
Because nobody plans anything, bro. Good thing the Rogue's ready like that.
For real. Rain, dirt, whatever. Available all-wheel drive, 5 modes, we still outside.
And they got some kick too. That turbo?
Torque is crazy. The most in its class. It moves.
Rogue doesn't mess around. And peep the space. Merch on merch, gear, mics, all of it fits.
Load up, we out.
2026 Nissan Rogue, built for all of it.
Auto Pacific segmentation, 2026 Rogue versus latest in-market competitors in the X SUV mainstream midsize class, excluding electrical vehicles, based on manufacturer websites.
Identity theft can cost more than you think. Drained investment accounts, stolen tax returns, lost wages, expenses for lawyers. It's a lot. That's why LifeLock is backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, which covers up to $3 million for the most comprehensive plan. So if your money is stolen due to identity theft, they've got your back. If you have personal expenses while resolving identity theft, like paying for travel or extra childcare, LifeLock has your back. Need coverage for lost wages because work had to take a backseat throughout all this? You guessed it. LifeLock still has your back. Plus, there's coverage if you need to pay fees for lawyers and experts to resolve your case. Don't face the burden of identity theft alone. Protect your future and finances with LifeLock. Join today. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 30% your first year. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart for 30% off. Terms apply.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Experience the freedom of finding the one at Haverty's. Right now, everything is on sale, from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate this summer at Haverty's, online or in Columbus at Polaris.
Identity theft can cost more than you think. Drained investment accounts, stolen tax returns, lost wages, expenses for lawyers. It's a lot. That's why LifeLock is backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, which covers up to $1 million each for stolen funds, fees for experts and lawyers, and out-of-pocket expenses. Don't face the burden of identity theft alone. Protect your future and finances with LifeLock. Join now and save up to 30% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.